I think we left off on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, on the top of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. We covered the Gemara. On the fourth line from the top of Daf Lamed Dalet, Gemara Soto, top of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara is talking about Shlach Lecha, Parsha Shlach, next week's Parsha. Shlach Lecha Anoshim. So Rish Lakish has a comment. The Rebbe Shalom authorizes Moshe Rabbeinu to send Miraglim to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, Shlach Lecha. What's that, B'Shlach Lecha? Why not Shlach Li Anoshim? Or Shlach Anoshim? Or Shlach Anoshim? Omer Eshloki, Shlach Lecha Midai Techa. If you want to, Gizun Tehet. If you want to send Miraglim, it's okay. I'm not encouraging you to, but I give you permission if you want it. So Moshe Rabbeinu at Fashtanim Echi Adam Ze Bore Chelik Rali Atzmo. Would the Rebbeinu Shalom? He's referring to Rebbeinu Shalom as if he were an Adam. Does it make sense that right? if the Rebbeinu Shalom picked out Eretz Yisrael for his Jewish people, so Mestama, he has the whole globe, and he chose Eretz Yisrael. It's a good place. And then he says, if you want to, send Miraglim to test it out to see whether you think it's good or not. So if he's offering you, let's say I want to sell you an automobile. I say, you want to drive it to California, test it, do whatever you want. So if I'm not afraid, I'm not nervous, obviously it's in good condition. So why should you bother to waste your time to test it out? So that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom gives permission to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach Lecha Midai Techa. So does it make sense that the Rebbeinu Shalom would give permission to send Miraglim if Eretz Yisrael is a rotten place? That's why it says in Chumash Dvarim that when everybody came to Moshe Rabbeinu and it was their idea, they wanted to send Miraglim, so it says, Baita b'yenai hadover. I, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was interested in it. Reish Lakish made a comment on that post, like, why does it say, Baita b'yenai? The Rebbeinu Shalom did not want it. The Rebbeinu Shalom just said, if you want to, you send on your own. He wasn't interested. Rav Soloveitchik has a drosha that they printed over many times, and they printed it in English and in Hebrew, that in Chumash Dvarim they refer to as the Miraglim. In Parsha Shlach it doesn't say Miraglim, it says Shlach V'yasuru. V'yasuru is Eretz Kanan. It doesn't say V'yiraglu. It doesn't say to spy out the land. So he gave a drasha based on a pasuk in different psukim. There's a Parsha in Yirmiyah where the Novi Yirmiyah describes the relationship between the Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael like a marriage, a husband and a wife. And you have a Chumash also. It says in the Chumash that at the end of the Teichacha, Baruch Shalom will send us into Golos, and Eretz Yisrael will be Hortz the Yeshmama. The land will be Shmama for all the years that the Jewish people will be in Golos. So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, Shmama, like a wife whose husband went to Medina Sayam, and she's a Gitraya wife, so she doesn't go to anybody else. She's not going to take another husband. She's still married to her first husband. So Eretz Yisrael is like married to the Jewish people, and it doesn't give out peiros to any other nation. It's like all the years that the Jews were in Golos since the
Arab was 2,000 years. They didn't be friends and nothing grew.
Yeah, that's what it says in the Teichacha. So the Psukim describe the relationship. The Psukim and the Rashi describe the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people like a marriage, like a husband and a wife. So Rav Soloveitchik said Adrosha that the din is also Lordim Sheikarisha Soisha Achi Rena Tchila. You're not allowed to marry a girl until you see her first. So we go out on many dates till you decide you want to marry the girl. By those who don't go out on so many dates, but the Gemara says you're not allowed to be Mekadosh a girl Achi Rena Tchila. So the Knesset Yisrael wasn't permitted to agree to the deal of Eretz Yisrael until they first have to see the Kala. They have to see whether they're for each other. So the whole idea of sending the Miraglim was not Miraglim to spy out the land to see where to wage war and where the weak spots are and where the strong spots are. It was just V'yosura, Eretz Kanan. They should see it and they should fall in love with Eretz Yisrael. They should come back to give a good report to Bnei Yisrael. It's a good shidduch. We should go move into Eretz Yisrael. But that, and in Parshas Dvarim, in Parshas Dvarim, what? I don't know. Yeah. He's saying a different medrash. Not like Reish Lakish.
But Moshe said that Machane Mevavetzorim. He didn't just tell them to go.
So Rav Soloveitchik said that's because in Parshas Dvarim, it says Bnei Yisrael requested a Moshe Rabbeinu, he should send Meraglim. That was their idea. Bnei Yisrael said we should send Meraglim to spy out to see militarily which is the best way to conquer the land. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave these instructions to the Meraglim. But that wasn't the Rabbeinu Shlomo's intention. That was the thrust of that drosha. So from all the droshas that Rav Soloveitchik said about Eretz Yisrael, that's the only one that they printed. He said many more good droshas. All right, it's also a good drosha. That's how Reish Lakish says. Rabbeinu Shlomo wasn't really interested. Then it says, "V'yachberu lanu es ha'aretz." They should spy out the land to see where are the weak points and where it's best militarily to conquer the land. But the verb that's used in the pasuk is v'yachberu, and the verb v'yachberu sometimes means to dig, and sometimes means an embarrassment, a humiliation. Amar apchia baraba meraglim lo niskavna ela levayshasa shel Eretz Yisrael. The whole intention from the very beginning was to bring out the negative aspects of Eretz Yisrael.
But why did you say anoshim? And Rashi says that there were ksherim, so how could you say that?
So it says, "Be'osu shok ksherim hoi," when they were chosen, they were ksherim. Then before they left, already the Machne Yisrael, before they left, they already decided in advance what kind of a report they're going to give. They already made up their minds before they saw it. That they were going to discourage everyone from going to Eretz Yisrael. That's something I'm always going to continue to say here. That's on the top line on Laman Hamid Aleph. Rashi and Chumash quotes that also. Why does it say V'yelchu V'yavoyu? They went from the Machne, from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael, and then they came back to the Machne to give the report. Why does it say V'yelchu V'yavoyu? There were 40 days in between V'yelchu and V'yavoyu. Why is it repeated here? So that's on the top line. When they came back to give the report to Bnei Yisrael, they made up their mind to give a negative report. When they left the Machne Yisrael Adaita to go to Eretz Yisrael, they had already made up their minds in advance before they saw Eretz Yisrael, they're going to give a negative report. The other Medrash Rashi says, Shlach Lecha Anoshim Tzadikim V'yosu Shok Sherim Hoyu. That when they were chosen, they were tzaddikim. But then, before they left to begin their trip, they already
do differently than you thought.
After you're elected to your position, you do whatever you want. Yeah, tzaddikim. When you make all the promises, they were tzaddikim, and then they did whatever they wanted. That's how the Zohar says that they were afraid they'd be ois machas. Kolzman there in the Midbar, so they're big leaders of Bnei Yisrael, and if they're going to, everyone is going to move to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a hanhoge b'derech hatav, yish tachas gafna v'tachas teinosoi. So they're going to have different manhigim. These 12 manhigim, these 4 manhigim, when it's a hanhoge nisus of l'mayla menatev, when the mon is coming down and the slav is coming down, and when they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to need different kinds of political leaders. So they realize they're going to lose their positions. So that's why they made up, that's what the Zohar says, that's why they made up their mind to give a negative report. So that's what the Gemara says. Why does it use that verb, v'yachbaru? V'yachbaru means to spy out, but why is that verb used? Sivach v'yachbaru lana v'sarat, sivhasam v'chafar halvana uvosha hachama. So v'yachbaru lana v'sarat means that from the very outset they made up their minds.
But the Yachalunas Ores was said by the other people, wasn't said by them.
Bnei Yisrael, yeah.
So what does this reflect on them? They told them to...
The Gemara is interpreting. The reason why Bnei Yisrael used that verb is because the Meraglim made up their minds.
If I have a bad intention, it doesn't reflect on them.
Don't know. Then the Gemara comments on the names. They're very unusual names. Ve'elu shmosim lamate Reuven Shamua ben Zakur. All these names. Omer Ab Yitzchok. Sometimes you have a name in the Chumash and it's a real name, and sometimes it's a nickname. It's not the real name.
Because of the action.
Because of some event, yeah. So the Gemara says, Omer Ab Yitzchok, Dovah Zemasoris, Biyadeinu Miyavaseinu. We have a tradition that the Meraglim, all of these funny names, Hashem Haseim Nikru, these are all nicknames because of their Miyasam Aisim, because of the fact that they made up their minds in advance that they're going to give a dishonest report, they're going to give a negative report about Eretz Yisrael. From all of the 12 names that are mentioned in the Chumash, we only know Pshat in one of them. That one of the names is a nickname, Al Shem HaSem, which is that? That's Sesur Ben Michael. Why is he called Sesur? Was a nickname, it wasn't his real name. Sesur means Shesasar Maisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he contradicted what the Rabbanu Shalom said. The Rabbanu Shalom was praising Eretz Yisrael, the best place in the world, in the earth. The Am HaNivcha has to be in the Eretz HaNivcheres, the chosen land. And the Meragim said it's a rotten country. So he was Soiser Maisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is he called Sesur Ben Michael? Michael was also a nickname. Michael means also Atzmai Moch. He declared as if the Rabbanu Shalom is weak. The word Atzmai in this context means the Rabbanu Shalom. Like the Gemara has a lotion in
the first one, it says
right, his name is Sesur and the father's name is Michael.
Right.
So his name, they're both nicknames. Sesur, Kosha Sasa Maisav Shal Gadosh Baruch Hu, he contradicts the Rabbanu Shalom. That the Rabbanu Shalom said that it's a wonderful country, and he says the Rabbanu Shalom is a liar. That's how Rashi says, Rashi writes, Osu Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Badoi. It doesn't mean Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, it means the Rabbanu Shalom. He's saying the Rabbanu Shalom is a liar. So Rashi writes a Loshen Saginoa, so to speak. Osu Sono, he's declaring that the Rabbanu Shalom is not telling the truth.
Mach means a liar?
Badoi.
What is Mach?
Mach means weak. Mach means weak. So Osu Atzmai Mach, he declared that God is too weak to succeed in war. If they were going to have to wage war against the people who live in Eretz Canaan, the Rabbanu Shalom will not be able to win the war. He refers to the Rabbanu Shalom as also Atzmo. Atzmo is the Rabbanu Shalom. You have another Gemara like that, like the Gemara says in Hanizokin, that when Titus came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he took his sword and he stabbed it into the Parochah, so that it started to bleed. The Parochah started to bleed. So Kesover, he thought Shaharagas Atzmo. He thought he killed God. He thought he killed the Jewish God because the Parochah started to bleed. So the word Atzmo is sometimes used as a description of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what he says over here. Sesur Shesasa Maisav Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, I was reading Rashi before, Rashi writes, Sasa Dvarav Hikrish V'yasa Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Badoi. It doesn't mean Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. It means he's declaring that the Rabbanu Shalom was a liar. Badoi is a liar. And then also Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Moch. We don't have Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have Osa Atzmo Moch. Atzmo referring to God. So Rashi had the gears to show us Sono Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. It means he was declaring that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moch, Cholosh, Shvach. Kidi Amina Lekamon, Rashi says, that the expression they used was Afilu Balabais Eni Yochel Lehotzi Kele Misham. Even the Rabbanu Shalom himself wouldn't succeed in a military battle in Eretz Yisrael. The Canaanim were too powerful. That's what they said. Gichazaku mimenu. The Meraglim, and they gave the report that they said, Gichazaku mimenu. So the word mimenu in Hebrew has two meanings. It can mean, Chazaku mimenu, he's stronger than me, or Chazaku mimenu, he's stronger than him. They're both correct meanings. So the Pashab Shat, Gichazaku mimenu, the nation in Eretz is all stronger than we are. So the Gemara says, but that's not what they meant. They meant Chazaku mimenu, that the nation there is stronger than the Rabbanu Shalom. I think Rashi Achumish quotes.
Yeah.
So that's what Rashi is referring to over here. Shasa Atzma Moch, he declares the Sur be Michael, said the Rabbanu Shalom is too weak to win such a war. So the first Amara says, we have a tradition that all of the names of the Meraglim are really nicknames. Al Shem HaSem, they're not the real names. But we only know how to figure out one of them, Sesur ben Michael. Rabbi Yechanan, Afon Noimar, I can add on one more name, but that's all. I don't know how to figure out the other 10 names, how they're all nicknames. He says, oh, I mean, those were decent, yeah. So from the 10 Hastas, Yeshua and Kalev were decent. So those are real names. And from the other 10 names, so the other 10 are nicknames. So he, one Amar, said, I only know one. Rabbi Yechanan says, I can add on another one. We can add on another one of the names, Nachmi ben Vopsi. It's Nachmi ben Vopsi. It's not a real name. That's a nickname, and the father's name is also a nickname. Why is it called Nachbi? Nachbi is Milosh and Hachavi, to hide. Shehechbi Dvarim Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were misrepresenting. The Rabbanu Shalom kept on praising Eretz Yisrael, and they're misrepresenting, hiding the truth from Bnei Yisrael. They're not going to tell them the truth that Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place. And what's for nomen is Vapsi also. Shepisa al midos of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. Pisa, Rashi says, Dileg. Dileg, he skipped over. Lipsa means to walk over, to jump over. So peace on midos of Shal Kodesh Bohu, that they were covering over on the truth. Same thing, they were skipping over the truth. The truth was that Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place to go, and they were covering up on the truth.
Why is the father blamed for
them? The father's not blamed, just the whole name is a nickname.
Was it fair to the father?
Like we have an expression, Ben Belial. Ben Belial means a rotten person. So it does mean his father's a Belial and he is the son of a Belial. Ben Mavis Atta means my father was a Mavis and I'm a Ben Mavis. I'm Chayv Misa, Ben Mavis Atta. So Nachbi Ben Vopsi, he was a Nachbi and he was a Vopsi.
So
no, the whole thing was a nickname. Mm-hmm. It's not at all a real name. The 10 names, not the 2, Yeshua and Kala, were the real names. But the other 10, who were the Ratan Meraglim, so they were punished, Taka. So all of their names that are mentioned in Chumash are nicknames. Then the Gemara has a problem with the Pasuk. It switches from plural to singular. It says, Vayalu Banegev, Vayavo at Hebron. They all of the Meraglim entered Eretz Yisrael starting from the south. Vayavod Hebron, he came to Hebron. Freg the Gemara, Vayavayu mi boyle. If it starts off in plural, so it should continue in plural. The answer is they didn't all go to Hebron. In Hebron, I buried Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Maris HaMachpelo. So only one of them went to Hebron. Malameid, Shapirish Kole, Miatzas HaMraglim, Kole broke away from the others. He heard that the others, from day number one, they made up their mind they're going to give a negative report because they don't want to lose their positions as the leaders. And he was only praying to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that he shouldn't fall in with them. He should not give such a negative report. Pirish called him out. Marag, v'holach v'nishtateach halkiri ovos. And he went to daven. You don't daven to ovos. You're not allowed to daven to a dead person. Right, he went to pray to the Rabbanu Shel Olam halkiri ovos. So what does it help to daven halkiri ovos? Mokum menuchas atzadikim is considered a mokum kodesh. So it's like davening in a shul. Davening in a mokum mekudosh. The Gemara says in Maseches Tainus, if there's Atziras Kshamim, if there's some major tragedy and the Bezdin feels compelled to be Goyza Tainus, so it says everybody should go to the cemetery to pray. Why do they go to the cemetery? So the Gemara says, if it's a Jewish cemetery where you have Tzadikim buried there, so Mokum Menuchas HaTzadikim is considered like a Mokum Kodesh to pray. And then the Gemara has the other opinion, and even if it's not a Jewish cemetery, they're going buried there, it's still a good idea to go visit the cemetery. Every person should realize, Sev Kol Adam Lamus, and we should all do tshuva, and if we'll all do tshuva, then the tragedy will end. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that on a Tainus, on Tisha B'Av, on Shiva Sabatamas, on Tzom Gedalia, it's Kedai, and on all Tanesim, it's Kedai to go visit a cemetery. Preferable is to visit a cemetery where you have tzaddikim buried. And second best, even if there's no Jewish cemetery, if it's too difficult, too far away to visit a Jewish cemetery, so you visit a Goyish cemetery. So a person should see with his own eyes that we all know in the back of our mind, we all know we're all going to die, but we all sin. We don't think about it. So if you go visit the cemetery, you'll be a little more cognizant of that fact. And well, maybe there's a chance that we'll do tshuva. Right. The Vilna Goyen, after his father passed away, the Vilna Goyen went to visit his father's kever. So then he had a dream that his father appreciated it very much. His father had a tremendous nachas ruach from it, but it had a negative effect on the Vilna Goyen's neshama. So that's it. So from that time on, he never went to visit the cemetery. And then in Volozhin, they carried on the traditions of the Vilna Goyen. Yeah. So that's a tradition from the Vilna Goyen. Not to go to the cemetery. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik said when his parents died, he never visited the cemetery. He said only after his wife died, then he visited every single week. He violated the family tradition, but he said it paid off. So he told over the story that he used to go every single week, and once he went before Rosh Hashanah. So he was about to leave the cemetery and there was a taxi waiting outside. He was going to drive him home. So a man came with two women and he thought Rabbi Soloveitchik was a shamus who stands there to make a few dollars. So he asked him, could you say a prayer by my father's grave? So he said yes. So he said, Kel Malarachim. Then he tells him, my uncle is buried over there. Can you say a prayer about my uncle? He says, fine. Then he says, his shviger is buried over there. He goes over there. Then he gives him a $20 bill. So he said, thank you very much. Have a happy new year. And he gave him back the $20 bill. So then he figured he wants more money. So he gave him a $100 bill. So he gave him back the $100 bill. He said, no. Have a happy new year. Thank you very much. I don't need any money. So he was wondering, why doesn't he need the money? Who is he? So then he sees that he goes out. He goes outside of the gate, and Rabbi Soloveitchik takes the taxi. So it can't be that he's a schnorri. He takes a taxi, and he gives back a $100 bill. So he went into the office, and he asked, who is that? So he said, that's the chief rabbi of the United States. Oh, this is Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, that was before Rosh Hashanah. He was visiting his wife's grave. So he said, before Yom Kippur, there was a check in the mail for Maimonides for $1,000, and every year afterwards they sent $1,000 for Maimonides. So he said, I violated the family tradition, but it paid off. So I told the story to Dr. Lamb once. He said, nobody ever gave me $1,000 for saying a Kel Mali Rachta. No, but I remember once at a Chag HaSmicha, when I was in high school, I remember we used to go to the Chag HaSmicha. So the Rav gave a whole drasha why they didn't go to visit the cemetery. That in our religion we emphasize living, and we're not interested in the dead. We don't want to have anything to do with the dead. Kohanim are not allowed to be mitame l'meisim. We stay away from the dead. But the whole story comes because the Vilna Gaon had such a dream that his father said he had a big nachas ruach when his son visited his kever. But it had a negative effect on his son. So that's why from that time on, the Vilna Gaon didn't go. And then the Talmid HaGra picked up this practice from the Gaon, not to go to visit the son.
We all have negative effects like the Vilna Gaon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Gemara says, why did he go to Hebron? Who went to Hebron? It was Kolev, because it switches from plural to singular, Vayalu Banegev, plural, Vayavod Hebron, only one of them. So the Gemara says that it was Kolev.
Sometimes the Gemara has that if it's revolution singular, it means the whole, like
Chalom
Mega the whole.
Mm-hmm.
So here you could also say they all came to as one. They came.
But the same pasuk starts in the plural.
Yeah.
Starts in the plural. So that's how the Gemara says that the one who went to Hebron to be mispalal to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But he uses a lashon, Amalehem Avoisa. He asks Avram Yitzchok Yankiv, they should be mispalal for him. Bakshu alai rachmim she'enotzel me'atzas hameraglim. This is a shaila. Is that really right? This Gemara assumes that it is proper. There's nothing wrong. They ask the tzaddikim who are not alive to be mispalal for me.
It's not crazy.
The Rosh Hashanah is, I ask the mace to help me out. The mace doesn't have any power. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam has power. Here I ask the Mason, they should be mispalal for me.
You always say, we are my Lutheran, right?
Yeah.
When you say, it doesn't mean I pray to him. I figure it out.
Yeah.
I remember the Rabbi said about that. He said that he went there and not because he went there to ask the
any difficult thing.
What did you see when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you that they give you the Eretz Canaan? What did you see? I want to see it the same way.
Oh, interesting. That's a good shot. Oh. So there were two of the 12 gave a good report, gave an honest report. So Kolev had to be mispal. How come Yeshua didn't have to go also to be mispal? Like Marcy Yeshua already had, he was covered. Yeshua Zogdigamor Kvabikish Moshe Olav Rachmim. Moshe Rabbeinu was already mispal of him. Shenemar, before he sent them with the other Meraglim, it says that he changed his name. Yehoshua. What's the significance of changing the name? Yehoshua means Kol Yoshiacha Me'atzas Meraglim. He was his Talmid. Moshe Rabbeinu loved Yehoshua ben Nun more than the other. He had many Talmidim, but he loved Yehoshua ben Nun more than the other. So that's why he was specially mispalel.
From here it indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu was already suspicious on the people.
So before they left.
Why didn't they abort the whole shlichus if he felt
so bad? I don't know. I don't know. But wait, one second. Why did he say that? What? Who was from Shevet Yosef? Yenu.
Yosef is not in Dibor. It says by the Yeshua.
Talmud, so he was afraid that maybe he would also be, say, Lashon Hara.
Ah, that's why.
It was his Talmud, so it would be a worse reflection on the Talmud itself. It's not going to back a bad performance.
Yeah, be bad.
Okay.
But if he was worried about Rabbi Yeshua, it says we eat the bein of Adama. He said we just had a pasuk before from the Torah, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu felt that it was a good idea. But he had the bein.
He originally thought it's a good idea.
Was he worried about giving a bracha to Yeshua?
I don't know. That's what he's asking.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
If he realized that's a tignesh, he should have aborted the whole thing. I don't know. All the stories that the Tanakh tells. My assumption is whenever the Tanakh tells a story, 99% of the details of the story are missing. The Psukim and Tanakh only give you a very, very scarce outline of the story. There must be a lot missing here. So we're just bringing out certain aspects, but there's still a lot missing. I don't know. You see from the pasuk in Yeshua, you see like that it says when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they divided Eretz Yisrael amongst all the different shvatim, and they gave the city Hebron to Kolev, and it says in Chumash Va'abdi Kolev, the ten meraglim are going to die, and the only two, because they gave a false report, and the only two who would survive are going to be Yeshua and Kolev. Because Ruach Acheres means he didn't go along with the Meraglim, and he made believe as if he is going along with them until it came time to deliver the message. And then Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yeshua. Rashi quotes Yeshua chapter Yudalev. So you see that he gave Chevron to Kolev because Kolev is the one who went to Chevron to be Mispal. So the pasuk says, in Chumash it says, when they went to Hebron, B'shom Achimon Sheshavitama Yilideho Anok, these three giants, all the three brothers, Achimon Sheshavitalmai. What kind of a name is Achimon? So the Gemara says, Achimon means Miyuman Shebe'echav. He was the strongest, he was the Gibor. Rashi writes, Gibor Shebehem. Like the Yad Yamin, Rashi says, like the Yad, by most people are righties, so the right hand is stronger than the left hand. And sometimes the word Yad Yamin means the stronger hand. Means the stronger hand. It doesn't mean on the right side. So Achiman means the Achuz Miyuman. From the three brothers, Achiman Sheshavitama, he was the Miyuman, he was the Gibur Shebishloshtim. So that's what his name means. The Gemara says something, these are also nicknames. These are not the real names. They had Goisha names. Achiman Sheshavitama are nicknames in Hebrew. So Achiman is Acha Miyuman, the Gibur from the three. Sheishai somehow has the connotation Shemesim Esaoret Kishichasos, that when he would walk, he was such a giant. When he would walk, he had gigantic feet, and all of the earth under him would turn into dust, I think. Shichasos, I think, means.
How does that more shy to say that it would sink in if you're heavy?
Let's see, what does Rashi say? Rashi is not sure what it means. Rashi says Shemokim Ragla Ma'amik Ba'aretz, he sinks in Mirov Kov, because he's so heavy. V'nikasham Kiguma, there's an indentation. U'kishachas. Okay, but then he says he doesn't know how the word Sheshai comes to have that connotation. Loshin Sheshai Lo Parash Lanu Ma'idomid Shchisus. How does it come to have that connotation? And he's guessing the Niraloshan Amudei Sheish Shehem, if you have poles that are made from ivory, marble. Very heavy, Shehem Kveidim Omokam Amodam Nikar. So if you have a pole that's very heavy that's sitting on the ground, so it's going to sink in. So that's why we refer to him as Sheisha. It's a nickname, it wasn't his real name. He was so heavy, wherever he would go, he would leave his imprint in the ground. And what is Talmai? Talmai is also a nickname, the Gemara is assuming. All three had nicknames. Shemesim Asaretz, Talamim, Talamim. Just like when you plow the earth, so you make a row here, a furrow, and then you make another furrow, another furrow, and rows and rows. Those are Talamim. So whenever he would walk, it would be like plowing the earth.
It's the same as
that. Same. So the Gemara is assuming all three had nicknames. Then the Gemara says, Dover Acher, another comment, they must have had a tradition, that these people, each one of these three brothers, built a gigantic city. Achiman bana Anos. These are all probably Plishtim cities. And Sheshai built a city, Alush. And Talmai built a city, Talbush. Each one was a giant, and each one had the ability to build the whole city. What does it mean, Yilideho Anok? They were the children. Apparently, their father was a giant, so they were giants. So the Pashup Shat, Anok is a giant. Anok is a giant. So the Gemara has another interpretation. Shemanikim chama b'koymosim. They were so tall
that
you had the impression as if the sun, they would block the sun.
Yeah.
When they would stand up, they would block the sun. The sun wouldn't be able to give any sunlight on the earth because they were so big. So you got the impression as if there was a sheet on the sky and there was a hole in the sheet. And this giant had his neck stuck through the hole and blocking the sun from shining through. And I think Rashi writes like that. No, manikim esachama, mirov gobo kamosam. They were so tall, domim kilu tzavarim nokev onik benekev shachama yotzeba, as if the sun shines through a hole in the sky, and their neck, they're so tall as if their neck is blocking. It's not the case, but that's the impression that was conveyed.
No, you're right. If they're a tall tree where the sun is, it blocks out the sun.
Blocks out the sun.
They also understood that. Depending where the sun was. If the sun was in the middle of the sky, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So the pasuk says, Vayavo at Hebron. That Kolev went to Hebron, and a Hebron with the three giants, okay? And then the pasuk happens to mention, Mechevron, Sheva Shanim Nimzasol of Netzom Mitzrayim. Hebron is a city in Eretz Israel. And historically, it was built 7 years before Tzoan, which was a city in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, is that possible? My Nivnasa, how do you translate the word Nivnasa? The city was built. Binyan. E lema. If he should translate Kibshut and Nivnasa Mamish, Hebron in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Knan was built 7 years prior to Tzoan, the city of Mitzrayim. Does that make sense? Mitzrayim and Knan were all children of Chom. As the pasuk says, the Gemara quotes it the next line in Bereishis chapter Yud. Vanechom chush Mitzrayim ufutoch Noan. So Mitzrayim was the second son, and Knoan was the youngest son, was the fourth son. So the Gemara has a loshin. Efsher odam boyne bayis lebno kotun kodim lebno gadol. Apparently, the father Chom built a house for each one of his sons. He built a city. Built a city for each one. Oh, he built a house for the son, and then a city developed around it. So that usually you marry off your children in order.
Yeah.
Sometimes the younger child gets married before the older child, but Noik Shabbalam, the older children get married first, and the younger children get married second. So does it make sense? Efsha Adam Baina Bais Libno Kotan, does it make sense that Chum built a home, or built a whole city for his youngest son, Kenan, Kaidim 7 years before his son Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim was the second son, and Canaan was the fourth son. The Gemara thinks that it, Rashi and Chumash quotes this. Gemara thinks that it doesn't mean that it was built 7 years before. The pshat perhaps is that it was seven times as beautiful. The city Hebron in Eretz Yisrael was seven times more beautiful than the city Tzoan in Mitzrayim al Shoyz. Mavuno Alechod Meshiva Bitzon, seven times more beautiful. Now, we know a little bit about the city. So the city Hebron, from all the cities in Eretz Yisrael, how outstanding is Hebron? So you go visit Hebron, it smells. All the Arabs live there in Hebron. It's awful. So the Gemara says, Hebron is a smelly area. Ben l'chot roshim b'chol Eretz Yisrael yosem b'Hebron. It's a rocky area, nothing grows there, hardly anything grows. And that's why the Kavri Boshichvi, and that's exactly why they decided to designate it as an area to bury people. That's why they buried the Moris HaMachpelas there. So that's the weakest from the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's one of the smelliest places. That's the weakest place. Nothing grows nicely there. In Eretz Mitzrayim, in the Middle East, is considered the Spitz, the most beautiful location, as it says, Kigan Hashem Ki Eretz Mitzrayim. Oh, the whole country Eretz Mitzrayim is like Gan Eden. It's supposed to be so beautiful. And what's the most beautiful location in Eretz Mitzrayim? Ben lechamul lebuchal Eretz Mitzrayim yosem mitzoan. Tzoan was the most beautiful city in Eretz Canaan, in Eretz Mitzrayim, dechsiv, kihoyu, bitzoan, sorov. The government officials of Mitzrayim lived in the city Tzoan. So he picked one of the nicest cities, or the nicest city, in order to have all the millionaires live there, in order to have all the government officials live there. So Tzoan is the most beautiful location in Eretz Mitzrayim, which is the most beautiful area in the whole region. And on the other hand, Chevron is the weakest. Afilu Hachi, nonetheless, the Pasuk says, Chevron was seven times more beautiful than Tzoan Mitzrayim. Wow, so look, Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara is saying Eretz Yisrael is the most beautiful we know in our days. It's not a secret. The whole area was a holy mess. And Eretz Yisrael, things were growing. It was beautiful, clean. They had hospitals, they had schools, they had everything. Everything was developed in Eretz Yisrael.
Wasn't Goshen only made of Eretz Mitzrayim?
Yeah. Maybe Tzon was a city in Goshen. I don't know. So the Gemara is commenting now. Pilochi chevra mevune echad mishiva b'tzoan. Freg the Gemara. This whole cheshbon that you just made, that Eretz, that Chevron is full of troshim, rocky area, nothing can grow. Chevron is shvach hazachen over there. It's the weakest part of Eretz. So freg the Gemara. Is that true? The Chevron troshim havi, is it really a rocky area where nothing can grow? I've haksiv, we have a pasuk that va'im iketz aboim shana. It's a question, 40 years after what? It's unclear, 40 years after what? The Gemara in Temura. And Daf Yudalan Amibes has a discussion of this. 40 years after, what are you starting from? Vayom Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech, and the Gemara says he was a Nazir. So the Nazir, in order to be allowed to take a haircut, has to bring Karbonis. Kolzman doesn't bring, even let's say he took a Nazir to be a Nazir for 30 days, or for a year. After the year is up, after the 30 days are up, after the year is up, you can't just say, the Naziris is up and I can take a haircut. You need a matir. So the matir is the karbonis that you bring. And before you bring the karbonis, he doesn't have a head to take a haircut. So it says, v'him iketz aboim shona. This question starting from when?
The hair is burnt under the
tachas dud, hashlamim, yeah. So the pasuk says, v'yom avshalom al hamelech. Avshalom tells his father, Dovid hamelech, Elchano, he's going to go to Chevron. He's going to bring the karbonis in order to be allowed to take a haircut. In order to be permitted to take a haircut. So the Gemara says, what? He was going to Chevron to bring the karbonis in Chevron? In Chevron, there's no mizbeach. Rashi says this was at the time, this was after Mishkan Shila had already been destroyed. When Eli died, so Mishkan Shila was destroyed. Mishkan Shila was there for a few hundred years. So after Mishkan Shila, there was a het of bummers, but they had a bummer gdoila in Nov, and then they had in Givon. So Rashi says at that time, Rashi writes over here, the bummer gdoila was in Givon. So why is he going to Chevron? Yeah. What's special about Chevron? He should, if anywhere, he should go to Givon. So the answer is no, not that he went to be makir of the karbonis in Chevron. He went to buy behemoth, because the behemoths in Chevron are fatter than the rest of Eretz. So why? Because there's good grazing area. So you see that it's a very healthy area. Things do grow over there. That's the Gemara's kasha. The Chevron, Troshim Havi, you're telling me the Chevron is the weakest area in Eretz, the worst part of Eretz Yisrael, because it's all rocky area, nothing can grow. No, you see from the pasuk, and what's pshat is going to Chevron, not that it's going to be makir of the karbonis in Chevron, you shouldn't. He went to buy behemoths from Chevron and to bring the karbonis in Givon, where the Mishkan was. Tanya, we have such a brisa. In the end of Menachos, the Gemara says, if you want to bring chitim for a korban mincha in the Beis Hamikdash, where is the best location in Eretz Yisrael to get chitim? If you want to bring shemen zayis, where is the best location to buy zaysim in order to make shemen zayis? If you want to bring saorim for a some of the menachos saorim once in a while, so where's the best location? If you want to bring parim, you want to bring elim, you want to bring kvasim. So the Gemara tells you which location in Eretz Yisrael is the best for each one. So it says over here, you want to bring Elim for Karbonis, Elim in Moav, buy from Moav, Chutzlots. The best is in Moav. You want to bring Kvasim, you bring him from Chevron. And you see that's what he did. Avshalom went to Chevron to buy the Karbonis there, and then he's going to bring the Karbonis in Givon, not in Chevron. So you see that Adarabba, that it's good grazing area. So what do you say, that it's rocky? Everything, no, fakert, me no. From that pasuk itself, you see that it's a rocky area. They didn't plant chitim. They didn't plant fruits or vegetables. Yeah. They just had grass. No normal fruits or vegetables or grain would grow there, only grass, and in Mele the animals got fed. That's what the Gemara says. Me no adarabba, from that pasuk, you see, I did the Kalisha Ara, because the land was so shvach, nothing could grow there because it was rocky. That's why Avda Raya, they used to use it as grazing area for the behemoths, Vishomen Kinyon, and the behemoths used to get fat. So that's why he went to that location to buy the behemoths. There in Temura and Daf Yudal and Amabes, they're printed on the side of the Gemara. There's a Pirush Rabbeinu Gershom. Before the days of Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom Mora Goylem. So Rabbeinu Gershom has a comment about this Avshalom. Usually Rabbeinu Gershom just says over the Gemara, he adds on a word of Pirush. Here he adds on something, no one knows exactly what he's talking about. There is a Mishnah in the middle of Nazir. The Mishnah tells a story, Hileni Hamalko, a Yiddish Hamalko. Her son was a general in the army, and she was Mekabel Naziris. If her son will be successful in war, she's Mekabel Naziris for 7 years, I think the Mishnah says. So her son was successful in the battle, she was a Nazira for 7 years. She wasn't the queen in Eretz Yisrael, she was the queen somewhere in Chutz Lords. At the end of the 7 years, she had to come to the Eretz Yisrael to bring the Karbonis and the Beis Hamikdash. She comes to the Beis Hamikdash, they tell her the good news, that the 7 years that you count in the Chutz Lords are not Oile, because all of Chutz Lords is Tumas Eretz Amim, so it's like sitting in a cemetery. So it says if the Nazir, last week said it says if the Nazir v'chayomis mei solov v'fesa pisam v'timi es nizroi ayamim harishanim yitlu, and he has to start counting the Naziris all over again. So Hileni Hamalki came to Yerushalayim, they said, sorry, you got to wait another 7 years. The whole 7 years didn't count. So she waited another 7 years. She had a lot of patience. A school of Arichas Yamim. She waited another 7 years, and then towards the end of the 7 years, somebody died in the same house where she was. She became Nitma. So she had to wait another 7 years. So 21 years, she finally brought the Karbonis. So that Mishnah has this din, that if a person is Mekabel Ned and Naziris, he has to leave Chutz Loretz, because all of Chutz Loretz has a Tumas Eretz Yamim. So we usually assume, who made the Gzeira Tumas Eretz Yamim? It's not a Din Men HaTorah. It's a Dima de Rabbana. Who made it? So the Gemara says in Shabbos, the end of the first parak, Shimon Ben Shetach. Towards the end of the period of the Bai Sheni. Shimon Ben Shetach, the last 100 years before the Churban Bai Sheni. This we're talking over here before the Bais Rishon. Avshalom was before the Bais Rishon. Yeah. So there was yet no Din of Tumas Eretz Yamim. So there's a Peladik Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of this same Gemara. He went to buy the behemoths because the best, fattest behemoths are in Hebron. Not that he was going to be mocked with the carbon in Hebron. He's going to buy it and mock with the carbon and give on, like Rashi says. Because Novi Givon, that's where the Mishkan was. That's where the Bama Gedolah was in Givon. Because there's a Machloikas Satanoim. Which carbonus can you bring up on a Bama Ketana? A Bama Syochid. Bisman had the Bama. Bisman Mishkan Shiloh, or Bisman Yerushalayim. There's no heter bomas anywhere. You're not allowed to make a bomber. Bizman no begivon, or in between no begivon, so there's heter bomas all over. So what karbonas are you allowed to bring on a bomas yochid, on a bomber ketana, as opposed to a bomber gedolah? So you can't bring to me the mumasofim. You can only bring the Gemara calls yisharis. Yisharis means the dorim of the davis. Ish kalayashabeinu, whatever you want to volunteer. Let's say someone was Mechal Shabbos B'shoigig, he's Mechuyev to bring Achatos, that's not Bob Ben Edom and Adobah, that's not called Yeshoris, that's not Ishkal or Yashabeinu. You can't bring Achatos or an Asham on a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is not Bob Ben Edom and Adobah, Korban Pesach you're Mechuyev to bring. So Korban Pesach says Beferish and Chumash, you can't bring on a Boma Ketana. You can't bring. You have to bring Dafkan a Boma Gedolah. So the only thing you can bring on a Boma Ketana is Yeshoris. So the Mishnah has, in the end of Zvach, the Mishnah has a Machloik the Satanoim. The Nazir, when the Zman HaNaziris is up, when the 30 days are up, or the 7 years are up, whatever, it's a minimum of 30 days. It has to be a minimum of 30 days. So whenever the Zman of the Naziris is up, the Nazir is Mukhiyev to bring Korbanos. So on the one hand, you can say it's a Korban that you're Mukhiyev to bring. It's not really Yesharis. So maybe you shouldn't be allowed to bring Korbanos HaNazir on a Bamas Yochid. So the other time, it's a Machlekes HaTanayim in the Mishnah. The other time it disagrees, and he says no, that how did he become mechuyev to bring the korbanos hanazir? If you mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, so the Torah imposes a chiyev upon you. When it comes Erev Pesach, the Torah imposes a chiyev. You have to bring a korban Pesach. How did you become a nazir? You accept the ned and the zeris. So implicit in the ned and the zeris is that you're accepting upon yourself to bring korbanos at the end. So it is yisharis. It is Yisharis. And in fact, Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, our last week's Sedra, how does it say? The Nazir at the end of the Malos, at the end of the 30 days, or the end of the 7 years, whatever it is, has to bring the Karbanah. So it says, very strange pasuk. So Rashi says from the Sifrei, what the pasuk means to say is, if a person says Hareni Nazir al Menasha Galeach al Elef Oilos, so the din is he has to bring all Elef Oilos. If a person says Hareni Nazir and I take a netter to bring 1,000 Oilos, Gizunta Hey, say whatever you want. You took a netter Naziris and you took a netter to bring 1,000. No, he can connect it. He can say Hareni Nazir. So the Elef Oilos are all called Karbonos HaNazir. Not stam that this is a Ned Elechud and this is a Ned Elechud. So you see from that din itself, if you see that the Chiyuv to bring the Karbonos at the end of the Malos of the Naziris is built into his Ned and Naziris. When he says Hareni Nazir, it's like saying Hareni Nazir the Harei Alai Lahavi Karbonos. So that's why there's a machlokes hatanaim. Is the nazir who finished his net in nazir, is he allowed to bring the karbonos on nazir on a bamas yachid, or do you say no, he has to bring a dafka on a bamas tzibur? So the gemara there in the tmura daf yudalit is bothered. What do you mean? Avshalom is going to Hebron. This is bisman givon. There was a bamas gedol on givon. What's he bringing the karbonos on nazir on a bamas ktana on a bamas yachid? Is the chanof in a riot to that tana? How could there be a machlokes hatanaim? Mor says, no, not he's going to Hebron to bring the Karbanis in Hebron. He's going to Hebron to buy the behemoth. He's not going to Hebron to bring the Karbanis in Hebron. He's going to bring the Karbanis to Givon. That's why Rashi hacks over here about the Givon. So the Rabbeinu Gershon writes on the side of the Gemara there, he adds on something that doesn't say at all in the Gemara. He couldn't go to Chutz Loretz, because in Chutz Loretz the Zman that the Nazir is Chutz Loretz is not Oila. Yeah. So Avshalom had to be in Eretz Yisrael the whole time.
So it is.
Yeah. So you're just adding on a little bit right to the argument of the Gemara. You had to be careful to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the Achrayim don't understand. What's that the Rabbeinu Gershon? The din of Chutz Loretz is like Tumas, like a Beis HaKfaris. That was in the days of Shimim and Shetach. That was at the end of the period of the Bais Sheni. They made such a din. The role of Chutz Loretz is Metame. Right. Tumas Eretz Amim is Metame like a Beis HaKvaris. And Nozer is not allowed to be in a Beis HaKvaris, is not allowed to be in Chutz Loretz. But Meretuch over here before the Bais Rishon was built. It's in the days of David HaMelech. So apparently the Rabbeinu Gershom has a Chiddush that the din that Naziris is not Oil and Chutz Loretz is not only Midirabbanon because of the Tumas Eretz Amim. It's even before they introduced Tumas Eretz Amim, there's still a din like that. That Chutz Loretz is not Oil. It's a Peledik Chiddush. Remember many years ago, Rabbi Shmaryo Shulman from Queens was talking to me. It must have been the Daf Yomi. We were together in some hotel in the summertime. He must have learned the Daf Yomi, and he must have said that Chiddush then. So he said, "There's a pasuk in Novi that lost the love of the Ekach min Benechem leNezirim umibachu Reichem leNeviim." There's such a pasuk that lost the love. The Rabbi Shlomo will give Nevuah and I'll have Nezirim. So he said, the fact that the pasuk puts the two together, Nezirim in Nevi'im, and we have a tradition, there's no Nevu'ah Shara B'chutz Loretz. The Nevu'ah is only in Eretz Yisrael. So apparently, the Nazir also, the Naziris is only oil in Eretz Yisrael. It says Kodesh Yi. It says that the Nazir has a Kedushas Naziris. So apparently, this Kedushas Naziris can only be realized and fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael, in a Mokam HaMekudosh. Chutz Loretz is not oilet in the Naziris, not only because of Tumas Eretz Amim and the Rabbanos like a Beis HaKvaris. Even in the days of Avshalom, where it was a Dain Loi Nigzar, Tumas Eretz Amim, there still was such a din, that the Yomim that you're in Chutz Loretz are not oilet. That's the Rabbeinu Gershom on this Gemara. You hear, there is no Rabbeinu Gershom, but there in Tmura, Rabbeinu Gershom has such a comment. Then the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, the last line, Vayoshuvu Mitur Haaretz, after they were traveling around in Eretz Yisrael for 40 days, so they come back to the Midbar to give the report. So it says, Vayelchu Vayavoyu. What happens, Vayelchu? It should say, Vayeshuvu Mitur Haaretz Vayavoyu El Moshe. They came back to Moshe. Vayelchu means when they went in the first place, from the Machane, from the Midbar to Eretz Yisrael. Vayavoyu is when they're coming back. So the Vayelchu doesn't belong here. Amar Rab Yechen and Meshum Rab Shimon Vayichoi. The pasuk adds on the word vayelchu to teach us ma bia b'yetzer ro. When they came back to the machna, they had all made up their mind that they plan to give a negative report. When they left the Midbar, when they left Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Eretz Yisrael, they had already made up their minds in advance. Whatever they're going to see, they're going to give a negative report. That's what Rashi writes in another place. Why does it say on the top line? It says, Amar Rab Yechanan, Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Usually the Gemara has Amar Rab Yud Amar Rav, Amar Rab Yud Amar Shmuel. When it says Omar, Omar means that so and so heard from so and so, and he says over what he heard. Rab Yechanan wasn't born until after Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died. Rab Yechanan was the Talmud of Rab Yudah Anasi. He was the first generation of Amoraim. Rab Shimon Bar Yochai was way before. He didn't hear from Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. So that's why he says Amar Rab Yechanan Yishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. He says over the name, but you can't say Amar Rab Yechanan Amar Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. He didn't hear directly from him. He heard that there was a tradition from him. This comment on the pasuk. Then the Gemara has a comment when they gave the report. So they're saying negative things about Eretz Yisrael, but first they say positive things. Vayisapru lo vayomru lo bonu el haaretz asher amarta lanu. It's a wonderful land, Efes, but there's one problem. Kiyasom hayoshev aleretz. They're very powerful, and we don't stand a chance to win the war. Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Again, he didn't ever saw Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. He says over the name Rabbi Meir. Kol Ashen Harish Ein Bo Dvar Emes B'Tchiloso Ein Miskayim B'Sofo. Why did they give a good report to begin with? They said the land is wonderful, but the nation who lives there is too powerful. We don't stand the chance of winning there militarily, because if you're going to tell a whole Lashon Hara, so if everything is going to be Shekem Mitchila B'Atzof, you won't get away with it. Shekem Ein L'Raglaim. So you have to start off with some Miktzas Emes, and that enables the Sheker to have a Kiyum. Kol Lashon Hara, Kol Dvar Sheker. The Medrash has Kol Dvar Sheker. Shame bo dvarem is betchilosa einem iskayim b'sof. Then the pasuk says Yeshua ben Nun started to give a report, a good report, to disagree with the meraglim. So they were all screaming at Yeshua ben Nun. Vayas kolav isha'om el Moshe. Somehow kolav got the people to be quiet with respect to this issue of Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he do exactly? Vayas kolav. He got them to be quiet. Has kolav. Everyone should be quiet. How did he get them to be quiet? So Rabbi says he fooled them into believing that he's going to say negative also. The 10 Meraglim were saying negative about Eretz Yisrael. Then Yeshua ben Nun starts saying positive about Eretz Yisrael. So Kolev saw that they're all screaming at Yeshua ben Nun. They want to stone him. So he said, not only do I have what to say, I have what to say about Moshe Rabbeinu. But he doesn't call him Moshe Rabbeinu. He calls him Ben Amram. He says, Vayas Kolev shehisisam bidvarim. He fooled the people into believing that he's going to say something very negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. So what happened? So on the side they have the Girsa. The Chazier Yoshua Kolev sees that Yeshua is a meek fellow and a Gita Drosha about how wonderful Eretz Yisrael. The Komishtoye giving, he's speaking, Yeshua is speaking, and the people are screaming at Yeshua Amri Lei. So they're screaming, Dein Resh Ktia Yimalel, who this little guy. This Yeshua ben Nun, he's going to tell us what we should do. What kind of a lashon is that? Dein Reish Ketia. So on the side of the Gemara, they have in the margin the quote from the Oruch. Reish Ketia means that his name was changed from Hoshea to Yehoshua. The Yud is the tiniest letter in the whole Aleph Beis. So his name used to begin with a big fat letter, a hey. Now his name begins with a yud. So that's why they called him Shorty. Something like that.
They cut off his name.
Yeah. Reish Ketia, his name starts off with a short letter. So they're making fun of him, like Shorty or something like that. So this little guy, this punk, don't listen to him. Rashi has a different shot. Reish Ketia means that Yeshua ben Nun had no children. So they said the whole issue of Eretz Yisrael is irrelevant for him. He's not gonna, he has no children who should yarshin the land. So don't listen to anything that he says. So whatever it is, Kolev sees that Yeshua is speaking, Chazye deko mishtoi, Yeshua is speaking, Amri leisa de hamoin is screaming at Yeshua, Dein resh ketir yimalel, he has no schus adibu, Yeshua has no right to speak. Omar, so Kolev thinks to himself, Omar means he's thinking, imishtoina, if I'll start to speak in favor of Eretz Yisrael, Amri B. Milsa, they'll scream at me, v'chasman li, and they'll shut me up also. So Omar Lohem, so he says out loud, v'chizu b'lvad osalona ben Amram, so he refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, not as our holy tzaddik Admur Kvod Kedushas Moshe Rabbeinu. He says Ben Amram. He calls him, like, you don't say Rabbi Shechter. Shechter. You don't give him his title. He says Ben Amram, just his last name. Sorry, so the Kohol thought Bignusikam Ishtoi. If he's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a disrespectful way, so they thought that he's going to say a Gnai about Moshe Rabbeinu. And they were all riled up. All the people, the 10 Meraglim, had riled everybody up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to lead them into Eretz Yisrael, and it'll be a disaster, it'll be a catastrophe, they shouldn't go. So they thought that Kolev is also going to say something negative about Moshe Rabbeinu. Sorry, big news, everybody was quiet. They wanted to listen to the attack that he was going to give against Moshe Rabbeinu. Omalahu, so once he had the floor, so once Kola gets up, he has the floor. He said, is this the only thing that Moshe did for us? And he thought he's going to attack, say all negative things. So he starts saying all the positive things. Hotziyana mimitzrayim. He led us out of Egypt. Vikarolana asayam. He led us over the Yams. Echelona saman. Im yoyim rasu salomas valula rakir lo nishmalo. If Moshe Rabbeinu tells us to make ladders, we'll climb up into the heavens, we should listen to him. Alona aleh. Biarashnoi. So anything Moshe Rabbeinu says, we should listen. He got their attention because he referred first to Moshe Rabbeinu as Amram, Ben Amram, in a disrespectful way. And then once he got their attention, so then he said we should listen to everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said.
Rabbi,
you said before
that Moshe Rabbeinu had no children?
Yeah. I don't know.
He had three daughters.
And that was Ben there, there's supposed to have been there.
Don't know.
He had
gotta look.
He had daughters that would also get inheritance.
I don't know. Maybe at that time he didn't have any children. I don't know. That's what Rashi said. Maybe at that time he had no children. Some point out in the Haftarah of Macha Chodesh, you have like that. Shaul HaMelech is angry at David. So David didn't know how angry he is. He didn't know whether he should be afraid for his life or not. So he was afraid to go. On Rosh Chodesh, Shaul HaMelech had a whole masipa, and David HaMelech didn't show up. So Shaul asks his son, Yonason, Madua Ben Yishai Leboal Alechem. He doesn't call him David, he calls him Ben Yishai. So Yonason says, Shaul Shaul Meimadi. He said there's a Zevach Mishpacha, the whole family is getting together, they're having a party. So he has permission that he shouldn't have to attend the royal banquet that they used to have, the Sudas Rosh Chodesh. So I gave him permission. So the father, Shaul, gets so furious, he almost killed Yonis. He threw the Chanis, he almost killed Yonis. He says, Shanda, and Navas Hamad, he gets so angry. What did he get so angry at him? Why did he decide that... He asked him a question, where is David? So he tells him he has permission to go to the family function. So what did he say? I see you're in cahoots with David. Well, how does he say that he's in cahoots? So my father, Zechariah Baruch, used to say over from the Darshanim that when Shaul HaMelech asked, where's David? He didn't refer to him by his name, David. He said, Ben Yishai. And when he answered, he said, Shaul Shal David Meimadi. He referred to him by his first name. He referred by the first name, it means that you like him. He referred to him by the last name, Shechter. I mean, they're disrespectful, you don't like him. So Shaul asked, where is Ben Yishai? And he didn't answer, Ben Yishai asked permission to go. Yeah. He said, David. So David is a Loshen Chiba, he called by his first name. So that's why the father knew to be angry. So he screamed, Ben Navas Hamardus.
You're picking him over
yeah,
yourself.
Over me. And he almost killed his own son. Like over here, the Gemara says, why was everybody listening to Kolev? Because he started to say, the Chizuba Vad Asalona Ben Amram. He refers to him by his last name, not by his first name. If he called him Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a Loshen Chib. If he heard him Ben Amram, is a Loshen Genai. So the Tzibur thought that he's going to say Le Genai. So then the pasuk continues, V'hanoshim Kolev says, Alo na lebe rashno sekino chal nuchalo. Don't worry about anything. Rabban Shalom is on our side. We're going to win the war. Don't worry. However, the other 10 Meraglim who went along together with Kalev Amru, we don't stand a chance. Lo nuchal ki chazukum imenu. The people, a nation that lives in Eretz are much more powerful. Chazukum imenu. How do you translate imenu? So the two ways to translate chazukum imenu, they are stronger than us or stronger than him, with the capital H, stronger than him. That's what the Gemara has a tradition. Amar Rab Chanina bar Papa Dava Gadol Diver Meraglim Boso Shoh. Woo! At that time, they set up Bikursus. Gichazaku Mimenu Al Tikr Mimenu El Mimenu. The pronunciation is the same. It's the same word Mimenu, but it's a different meaning. You don't translate Gichazaku Mimenu. They are stronger than us, but rather they are stronger than him. Kevayochal Afilu Balabais. Even the Rabbanu Shalom himself, even the Rabbanu Shalom couldn't win a war against these people living in Canaan. So that was up because...
What do they mean to say by that? They'll never win.
They said that
the Balabayas, what kind of a Muslim do they have?
Referring to the Rabbanu Shalom is the Balabayas. The Lord of the whole world can't win a war against these people.
Yeah, but they didn't have a case to show that Afila Balabayas and Yuchloitzi.
That's their assessment.
That's Lushna Hovetaki. Yeah.
This Hoitzah Hashemra. They're making up a whole story. Yeah. No, they saw that there were such giants and they were so powerful and such might. So they said, but Rabbanu Shalom doesn't stand a chance. And then they gave the report, Eretz Yisrael is a terrible country, Eretz Achelos Yashver. Everybody's dying at a young age over there. What is that? Dorash Rava. So Rava once made a comment, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbanu Shalom pulls the strings of history from behind the scenes. He rigs everything and he causes things to happen the way he wants it to happen. So the Rabbanu Shalom had a plan. He wanted in every city where the Meraglim will go, the nation, the people who live there should be busy with their Levaya, so they won't have time to pay attention to these Meraglim, so they shouldn't be so conspicuous. The Meraglim interpret everything fakir. I planned it, wherever the Meraglim went, the most important person passed away, that all the people should be busy with the funeral. They shouldn't ask, who are these people? Who are these 10, who are these 12 Meraglim who are running around? Another version has it, not that in every city where they went, the most chashuv person would die suddenly, but rather, Eov noch napshe, Eov. That's a shaylan bovah basrit. It says, I'm bovah basrit tezvovah mebeis. The Gemara has a machloikis. Is Eov just a novel? He didn't exist. It was Lohoy Veloy Nivra, just a mushal. Ariyev was a real person who lived in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ariyev lived later.
It was one of the.
One version was he was in the cabinet of Paro. Different versions. If Imtim Tzlema that he did, he really did exist, so which generation did he live in? So it's not clear. When the Gemara has one opinion, he really did exist and he lived in the generation of Esther. When they were having a beauty contest to see who's the most beautiful, because the pasuk says his daughters were very good looking. So when were they ever making a beauty contest? That must have been in the days of Esther. So the Gemara is not sure. So this Gemara has one version. He really did exist, and he lived in the days of the Meraglim, and that's when he died. And he was such a public figure, so everybody all over Eretz Yisrael, they were having hespedim. Yeah. The first version of Rava was that every city where they went, the most chashuv person would die, and all the people in that city would be terudim in the levay. The second version was Eov died. Well, you have to bump off so many people. One person died. Now busy delivering hespedim all over. Everybody was busy delivering hespedim. Eov noch napshe. He died. We treated kuliyame behespedim. So the Rabbanu Shlomo gitan leteiva. He did this in order that the Meraglim shouldn't be conspicuous. And they misinterpreted that it's Eretz Achelos Yashver. They thought that this goes on all the time. It didn't happen all the time that people are dying right and left. It was only when they were there to cover up on them. And then when they gave the report to the Bnei Yisrael, they said, "Vanehi be'einenu kachagavim, v'chein hayinu be'einehem." They was the people who live in Eretz Yisrael were such giants. They're so big. We had the perception. We had the feeling as if we're grasshoppers. We're so tiny. We know how to over 6 feet tall. We had the feeling in comparison to them that we're grasshoppers, and they looked on us as if we were grasshoppers also. So the Gemara says, "Amar Amishar Shemiraglim Shakori Havu." They were liars. Bishleima, what they said, that we considered ourselves as if we were grasshoppers lechaya. Thus came Efashtein. We looked at them and we looked at ourselves, so we had a sense of insignificance. We didn't feel any chashivas whatsoever. How did they know what the goyim were thinking? They could read their minds. They know what they were thinking. So the Gemara says they must have been liars. Rami Shashi thinks they were liars. So the Gemara says, "Why does Rami Shashi have to?" It's bad enough. The story is bad enough the way it is.
Yeah.
lots. It has to pile on Noha Maisa that they were liars. Moshe Veloihi, that's not necessarily true. Ki habi mavri aveli toisi arzei. By us, there's an Indian of a Sudas Havro. After the funeral, so the Avelim come back. So the din is that the Suda Rishon on the first day, someone else gives the Sudas Havro. We assume it's a chelik of Nicham Avelim. Chelik of Nicham Avelim. So the Gemara assumes as if the Goyim had the practice of having Sudas Havro also. And the Gemara says in the first parak in Ksubas that if the weather is nice, he used to have a Sudas Havro outside under the trees. Not we have it in the base of Ovel when the Ovel comes back from the cemetery. They used to have it in the street. The Gemara has, and they used to drink wine and say brachas in public. So the Gemara has here, ki have a mavri aveli toisi arzi, when the Goyim used to give the Sudas Havro to those. The Gemara is assuming that in every major city, some important person died. So the relatives would have a Sudas Havro toisi arzi under the cedar trees, have a mavri. That's where they had the Sudas Havro. B'chi chazinu, when the Meraglim saw that everybody is coming, gathering together, to participate in the Sudas Havro, so kiyasvei b'ilani. So the Meraglim ran up on top of the trees
to listen to what's going on.
Either to listen or to run away. They didn't want them to start up with them. So Shami, when they were on top of the trees, they overheard the Goyim talking. The Kamri, the Goyim said, Kochazinan Inshi, the Dom of the Kamtsi B'iloni. Hey, look at that. There's a midget over there. He looks like a little bug.
On the tree.
Because they were such giants. So these were human beings, 6 feet tall. But they were 20 feet tall, whatever. So they overheard the Goyim saying, Kochazina Ninshi, we see human beings, the Domu the Kamtsi, who look like little ants, Kamtsi are ants, Biloni, on the trees. So that's what they said, V'chein Hayina, V'einayhem. They looked upon us as if we were grasshoppers.
You can also say, if a person holds himself so unworthy, that's how he becomes another person's eyes too. If a person doesn't have any respect or any self-value,
also,
he loses the value by other people too.
Yeah. So the pasuk says, but so the new, if you have a machlekes, they send 12 meraglim. So 2 give a good report, and 10 give a bad report. So who do you believe? So the 10 against 2. Batisa kol ha'eda va'itnu as kolam va'yifku. They were all crying. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Also hayom erev tish abav hayom. The gears on the side is also halayla leil tish abav hayom. That was the night of tish abav. They're crying for nothing. I'm giving them a wonderful Eretz Yisrael. What are they crying about? It's the best place on earth. They're crying for nothing. Now I'm going to teach them a lesson. I'm going to give them what to cry about. So that's why Tisha B'Av was Nikva at that time.
So what are we shielding?
Tisha B'Av was Nikva as a Bechiel Adoris. Yeah. The Pasuk in... the Netziv in his Biran Chumash on Parsha Shlach quotes a pasuk from Tehillim and a pasuk from Yecheskel that on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Rabbanu Shalom swore that he's going to send the Jewish people into Golos. In the Chumash, it doesn't really say it. It's missing in the Chumash, but that's what it says in Yecheskel and that's what it says in Tehillim.
Well, they were in Golos for 40 years.
No.
Afterwards.
It means that he swore he's going to be machriv the Beis HaMikdash. So that was Nigzar, that the Beis Rishon is going to be chor, was already Nigzar on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim. And that's what the Gemara says in Yuma, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew in advance that it was Osed Lehei Chorev. So that's why he commented, what's Vetzayin with the second Beis HaMikdash? Will the second Beis HaMikdash be of a lasting nature? It'll never be destroyed? Or will the second Beis HaMikdash also be destroyed? So that's what he said. How does the pasuk go in Shir HaShirim? Imchaimahi nivna lehatiras kesem. Delasi notzor alahlu achoris. So the Gemara in Yuma in the end of the first parak understands. Imchaimahi imyalu kachom. Imyalu kachom means when the Golus Bava will be over, the Shiv Mishana. The Golus Bava, imyalu kachom. If everybody will come back, then nivna lehatiras kesem. The second Beis HaMikdash will be like made from metal. She'ein harekim sholit bo. That it's not going to rot away. However, if Imdelasi, if it'll be a Shvach Aliyah, hardly anybody will show up. Not so Alalu Achoris, that the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a wooden hut, like a wooden bungalow, a wooden building, as Harekim Sholipo, it's going to rot away. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, there was hardly anybody there. It wasn't Chayma, it wasn't Yaloka Chayma, there was a Shvach Aliyah. So when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they also knew from day number one is Asid Lehi Chorev, because they already heard from Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech knew from the days of the Chet HaMeraglim. That's how the Pasuk says in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. The Netziv wants to know, where does it say it in the Chumash? How come it doesn't say in the Chumash? How come it doesn't say? So he thinks that it does say. It says in Parsha Shlach, when the Rabban Shalom is angry at Bnei Yisrael, it says, Chayoni v'malich v'odi es kol ha'oretz. What's Falosh and it does? Chayoni v'malich v'odi es kol ha'oretz. So the Netziv is very original, the whole Chumash, he's very original in his interpretations. So he thinks V'malich v'odi es kol ha'oretz means I will send the Jews into Golus all over the globe, and they will accomplish Kvod Shamayim wherever they go. The purpose of sending the Jews into Golus, V'malich v'odi es kol ha'oretz. So that pasuk means the same as the pasuk says in Yecheskel and in Tehillim, that right on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Rabban Shalom told them when they're going to build the Bayis Rishon and Eretz Yisrael, it's also the Hechorev, and they're going to be sent into Golus. Over the Churban, so he knew in advance. Yeah, well, that was Beruah HaKodesh. Yeah.
The Ramban say also that the first of the first of the second was about by Chinese.
Right. It's Merumas. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says. They had a tradition that was when the Meraglim came back and they gave the negative report and everybody was crying the Bechiyo Shalchinam. That was Tisha B'Av. That was Leil Tisha B'Av. And the Baruch Shalom said, "Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinam, ani ek v'lachem, I will declare this day as the Yom b'chiyah l'daris, that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash, and other terrible tragedies occurred also every year on Tisha B'Av." Then the pasuk says, "V'chvod Hashem nira b'yoh ha'moyed." What is that all about? It says, I left that a pasuk. Oh. The people were so angry, it was the word of two against the word of ten. So everybody believed the ten Baragma gave the bad report. And the two, Yeshua and Kalev, are screaming, "No, it's a good place, let's all go to Eretz Yisrael." So all the people are angry at Yeshua and Kalev, so they start throwing stones at Yeshua and Kalev. So the Lashon HaPasuk is a little unclear. Who is Osam, a plural? Osam means the two, Yeshua and Kalev. But then the pasuk continues, "Chvod Hashem nira bi olmoid." What does that mean? So they were planning to throw stones at Yeshua and Kalev. Then they said, "Chvod Hashem," the Shechina appeared, so they stopped. That's the pasuk pshat. The Gemara says, "No, they didn't stop.
They started to throw."
Osam means all three, l'rgom osam ba'avonim, including "Chvod Hashem nira bi olmoid." They were throwing stones at Yeshua and Kalev, and at the Shechina. Wait a minute, the Shechina. They started throwing stones up into the sky. That's how the Gemara interprets. Then when they're throwing stones, l'rgom osam is all three, Yeshua Kolev with the Shechina. That's the meaning of the next line, l'chvod Hashem nira b'yomoyed. Usually you say pshat v'akem, they were planning, they were thinking they're going to throw stones, and then they got scared when they saw the Shechina. So the Gemara says, no, they were throwing stones at the Shechina also. Then the pasuk says, what was the punishment of these ten meraglim? It should say Bimagefo, they died in the Magefo. Ba Magefo means Bahamagefo Hayudua. What's the hey idea? Ba Magefo with a patach. That's what Rashi says. What's Bamagefo? Rashi says, Middle Karina, Bimagefo, Mashma, Migefo Ham Yuchedis. Some kind of a meat that can make what was it? So the Gemara says, Amrab Shimalok, Shemesa Misa Mishuna. They had some Misa Mishuna with a hey idea. How can you depict the Misa Mishuna? So the Gemara has two suggestions. Someone said, okay, well, when they died, so because they sinned Lashon Hara with their tongues, so when they died, the worms were crawling in and out. The worms were crawling from their tongue into their belly, from the belly back into the tongue, back and forth. That's the Misa Mishuna. Their tongue became stretched out, became elongated. Tabur is the belly. So the tongue became so long after he died of Hoyitolim. The worms were going from the tongue into the belly, from the belly back into the tongue. That's the Misa Mishuna, that's the Bizayan that they had, that's the Mida Kenegan Mida that they did the Aver with their tongues. Askar, I think, is diphtheria. Some kind of a sickness that starts from the mouth. Because the Gemara Rashi quotes, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lama Gimel, that because Lashon Hara is an aver that one does with the mouth, so one who violates Lashon Hara deserves to be punished mida keneged mida with a sickness that starts from the mouth. So how did we get involved in this? Next week is Parsha Shlach. Well, why is it over here? Because the Gemara went on a sidetrack. We're really discussing when Esau crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So they put up 12 stones in the Yarden. Then they put up 12 stones in Gilgal. So it was begat diverted. How heavy were the stones? How heavy were the stones? So the Gemara said, well, how heavy was the Eshkol Anovim that they needed 8 people to carry an Eshkol Anovim? So once we was talking about the Eshkol Anovim, so we diverted. We spoke a little bit about the Meraglim, and now we're going back to the point when they were crossing over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So the Pasuk says in Yeshua that usually the first two machnas went, and then the Oren Ashchina, the Levium with the Oren went in the middle when they were traveling 40 years in the midbar, and then the two machnas went at the end. When they crossed over the Yarden, it says the
same procession.
It says the, instead of Kahanim, instead of Levium, and the Kahanim went first. Why? Because the water didn't split, the Meha Yarden didn't split until the Kahanim had their feet there. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk sounds like it says, the Kohanim put their feet into the Yarden so the water split. The Kohanim is standing here holding the Oren HaBris, and then everybody crosses over. And then the Kohanim went back over here, and then the water went back. So all of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, the Kohanim are over here on this side. So how did they go over? So the Gemara says they flew in the air. They flew in the air. That's called Oren Noisei Es Noisei. You think that people are carrying the Oren because if you don't carry it, it's not going to move. No! The Oren picked them up in the air and they flew over. That's how the Gemara interprets the Psukim. Doesn't really say the Farish. Here the Gemara is going to continue after the two dots, around 20 lines from the bottom of Laman Hamad Aleph. So the Gemara goes back to the crossing over the Yarden in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. Kibin Sha'ala Ha'achon Shabisol Min HaYarden. After all of the Jews crossed over the Yarden and now in Eretz Yisrael proper on the western side of the Yarden. So then, Chazra Hamayim Limka Mam Shenemar. Then the water of the Yarden went back to run normally. Shenemar Vehibalos HaKohanim Nosi Aron Bris Hashem Mitoch HaYarden. When the Kohanim went back onto the dry land, Nitku Kapas Ragle HaKohanim Elech HaRova. The Kohanim went back onto the dry land, the HaRova. Vayeshuvim HaYarden Limkaimam. Then the Yarden kept on flowing. So the Yarden was flowing full force like it always did.
So why do you assume that they went out on the Jordan?
So the Gemara says, Nimtza, next line, Nimtza, Oren, Venoisa, Vekohanim, Mitzad Echot. The Kohanim went back where they came from. He saw Mitzad Echot on the other side. And how'd they get over the Yarden? So the answer is, Nasa Oren, Es Noisa, Vyomar. The Oren carried them over. Shenemar, Vehi, Kashatam kol hom la'avor. After everybody crossed over, va'yavor aron Hashem v'ha'kohanim lefnei ha'om. The poshib shat in the psukim you could read differently. Right. You could read that the kohanim stepped into the Yarden and everybody went first. And then the kohanim crossed over in the dry land, and then they walked over here. So the Gemara has a tradition. No, they walked back on the eastern side, and then they flew in the air. And because of this historical tradition, that in the days of the Yeshua ben Nun, when they crossed over the Yarden and said, Oren Noisei Es Noisei, Baldova Zenen Ashuza. What happened when they went to war in the days of Eli? So they took the Oren with the Luchai, so the Plishtim captured the Oren. And the two sons of Eli were killed, Chofni and Pinchas were killed, and then they told Eli, so Eli got a heart attack, and he fell over and he died. And the Oren was captured. So the Plishtim were suffering because they had the Oren, so they decided, better get rid of this, so they sent back the Oren. So when they sent back the Oren, they sent it on a wagon.
No, they sent it on a wagon, right? But that's not when it happened.
Later. Later. Right, so the Gemara is going to have stories. The Gemara is going to comment about the different stages. The Plishtim sent back the Oren, so it came, I forgot already, which
Beit
city? Anshe Beit Shemesh.
And then they sent it to...
Beisoybet Edmagiti.
No, Edmagiti was later.
Later. Finally it was brought, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, finally it was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is going to comment on the different stages of what happened. So at one stage, at one point, they were transporting the Oren from one place to the other, and it looked like the Oren was ready to fall off of the wagon. So this fellow Uzo did what any normal person would do. He ran over to the Oren and he held it to prevent it from falling off. So the Pasuk says, He wanted to hold that it shouldn't fall. Yes. The Baruch Shem says to him, Uzzah, what's the matter with you? Nice of Nasa. If they flew over the Yarden, the Kohanim are holding the Ark and they're all flying in the air. Atzma lo koshkein. Of course, the Ark is not going to fall. Yeah, what are you fall? What are you worried about?
Atzma lo kosh.
Huh?
It will hover. It won't fall.
Yeah.
Down.
Shouldn't worry.
It's a lot later. Yeah. It was a lot later.
Yeah, right, right. The Gemara is going to talk about all the psukim.
I know.
A later stage, on the way from the Plishtim till it got back to the Bais Rishon, took quite a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Gemara, but Uzzah should have known from this historical tradition when they crossed over the Yarden, they all remembered that Aronai says nice. He shouldn't have been. He should not have been worried. So that's what the pasuk says. Vayichar af Hashem biUzzah, vayakeu sham al Hashal. Yeah. What does Elosha mean? Al Hashal? How do you translate the words? Al Hashal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to die. Al Hashal. So the Gemara says, Machleg Sab Yechon Reb Lozach. Harama Aliske Sholu. Sholu means they made a mistake. He made a mistake with Shoigig. He didn't do anything wrong with Mezid. Vacharama, and the other Amara says, no. A person makes a mistake. Shoigig is not thinking. Sees the Orban is about to fall. And he means the Torah, he wants to hold it, so he deserves to die. What punishment? He should have remembered that Har and Nosis, he should have relied on the nest. So he didn't, he wasn't thinking. He was thinking in a secular sense. So does he deserve to die? So the Gemara has no. The other Amar says, the Chadam once at least Kishon made a mistake and he was punished with death. V'chadam sho'os et zarocha b'fonam. A different story. That he was mevaza the Yoreh.
It's very difficult.
How does it come to word sholo? So Rashi explains to drop, yeah. To drop something. So he was dropping meraglaim in front of the yarn. He was mevaza the yarn. That you can understand. Yeah. If a person does that in front of the yarn, he deserves to be punished.
That's what it says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk that he touched it.
No, the pasuk Vayakehu al has Vayakehu sham al Hashal.
I know, but so how did he touched him?
But what does the word al Hashal mean? So one Amar says al Hashal Shalom b'shegig. He was punished with death because of the aver that he did b'shegig. The other one says no, al Hashal means because he was dropping something. Shol to sholulo. We had in Megillas was shol to sholulo. Yishal zeisecha.
I'm sorry. What does it say? That there was an accident like this at the Yarden.
No.
He says, well, do was say, Uzzah was nanish.
Uzzah should have known from the historical tradition that when they crossed over the Yarden so many years earlier, a few hundred years earlier, it was Aranos, yes, Naisov, so he shouldn't have been concerned.
But there were no accident like this.
Not an accident. No, Ness. He should have known that the Oren takes care of itself.
Okay.
So he shouldn't have been worried. So because he forgot, B'shoigeg, so that's why he deserved the death penalty. So that's very difficult. So that's why the other Amara says no. Shasa tzarocha b'fana. It was very difficult. Very difficult. Then the Gemara said, Vayom Hashem im Aron Hu'alakim. He died. What's for Allah? Vayom Hashem im Aron Hu'alakim. Let it say Vayom Hashem. So the Gemara, no, Imaron Elakim means Amar Rabbi Yechon, Uz Bo Lo Elam Abba. Shenam Imaron Hu Elakim Ma Oren Li Oylam Kayam Avuz Bo Li Oylam Abba. Even though he was punished because of the aver that he did, Mistama must be. The Gemara said Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Loza had a machlokes. Chadom Aliski Shalu. He made a mistake b'shege. So Mistama Rabbi Yechon is the one who said he made a mistake b'shege. So he says he went to Oylam Abba. He died because of the Chil Hashem, what is B'shoigeg? So he goes to Olam Habo. But according to the other one, Shas or Tzerachim, so why should he go to Olam Habo? So Mistam Rabbi Yechon is the one who holds that it was B'shoigeg. Vayichal David ala sheparat Hashem peretz b'luzon. David was angry. He was angry? He was angry at whom? Angry at the Baruch Shalom. So the Gemara says, no, doesn't mean he was angry. Omer Abloza means Shenishtana Parim Bacharora, Kacharora, means his face turned black. He turned colors. Doesn't mean he was angry. Yeah, what is he going to be angry? Freg de Gemara, Anayamais. Every time it says Vayichar, that's what you're going to translate. It says Vayichar Af Hashem. The Rebbe's own face turned colors. Freg de Gemara, Elamayata, Nayam Shot, Kalech Dixi, Vayichar, Vachanami, that's what it means. The Gemara says no. Usually it says Vayichar Af Vayicharaf means someone gets angry. Here it doesn't say hasmik sibi yicharaf. Hacha like sivaf. Here it just says vayichar. So here you interpret vayichar loshen charor, that his face turned colors. Then the Gemara says Dorash Rava. Why did Min HaShemayim? Why did they cause such a whole terrible tragedy to occur? It was under his supervision that they were bringing the Orem back, and it was a dad. The Torah is supposed to be pleasant, supposed to be sweet. You're supposed to sing a nigun when you learn Torah. Supposed to enjoy it, but they're not supposed to be fun. Not supposed to be fun. So David HaMelech, the Gemara criticizes, he used a lashon that's a little too lightheaded. Means if you don't keep on chazering, then you're going to forget everything. Means if you close your eyes. If you close your eyes, look, you go to sleep at night, that's, we allow people to go to sleep. You don't insist that everybody has to stay up all night and learn 24 hours a day. But if instead of learning, when you have an opportunity to learn, you close your eyes and you don't learn, then the Torah is going to disappear. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, the Torah is such a serious thing. You go away from the Torah, so you're going to be punished, going to forget everything. So you call it Zmiris. Hey, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to cause David HaMelech to make a mistake that little children of Lord Chumash know that. It says, we just had it last week, when the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Moshe Rabbeinu to divide up the Agolos, they gave Bnei Gershom, and Roy Kos didn't get Kavodas HaKadosh Aleihem, because if you sow, they're supposed to carry it by hand. So why did he send it by Gola? David HaMelech made a mistake. He shouldn't have sent it by Gola. Yeah. So because David HaMelech made a mistake, that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu caused this whole Michshol to happen. The Yuasi Bagalta, and David HaMelech told him they should take it by Gola. So then the Gemara is going to continue about the whole Hishtal Shalus Advarim. From the time the Plishtim sent back the Oren, when they were suffering because they captured the Oren, until it went back to the base Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay. Wait, now we'll save it for next.
The difference between the mirrors, the Torah, and the shira.
I think mirrors means that's a little too fun, too much fun. When we daven on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov, so you say Yalla v'yava v'yagir zichrenenu fiktanenu v'zichren avisenu v'zich m'shech bin David Abdech. On Shabbos we don't say Yalla v'yava zichrenenu fiktanenu. Where does that come from, that Anshe Knesset HaGedolah composed that tefillah dafka for Rosh Chodesh and Yomim Tov and Chol HaMoed and not for Shabbos? And so it's based on the pasuk in today's Sedra, where it says, V'yom simchas v'madech m'rosh ha-chadshechem v'skaitem b'chatzoytzus al olasechem al zivch v'shalmechem. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim had to play, had to sing Shira. So the Gemara has, the Gemara quotes Tzukim Dirayam, they used to sing Shira b'peh and used to have Shira b'kli. So the Gemara has a machloikas in Erechin and in the end of Sukkah, whether the Ikesh Shira is Bikli, the Kli is Likuva. If you just have singing, if you just have a choir without music, you're not Yotzer. No, Ikesh Shira Bepeh, and the Kli is only Levasume Kola. That's just to enhance the music, that it should sound better. Yeah, for background, right. But I'll call upon him, there is a din of Shira Salavim. So part of Shira Salavim, they used to have a whole orchestra, the Mishnah and Erechin lists off all the different instruments. But this is a different pasuk. Here it says of Yom Simchaschem of Mayadechem. This is the end of Revi, the last pasuk. Yom Simchaschem of Mayadechem of Rosh Chodeshem. And Yom Tovim Mayadechem of Rosh Chodeshem. Days on which there's a mitzvah of Simcha. On Shabbos, Tosfos points out in Moed Katan, there is no mitzvah of Simcha. Yom Tov is Doich Avelus. Shabbos is not Doich Avelus. Why? Because Simcha and Avelus is a tied to the Sasri. Shabbos there is no din of Simcha. It's not because if Shabbos would be Doich Avelus, there would never be any Shiva, because every seventh day is Shabbos. Not because Shabbos is every seventh day. Shabbos is not Doich HaShloshim either. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, because on Shabbos there's no Chiyuv Simcha. I, how come one doesn't observe Avelus Beferhesti on Shabbos? A different reason. Avelus Beferhesti, because on Shabbos it says Barucha, by Barucha Lekim Asher Meshmei, by Kaddish Oisai, and the Pasuk says in Koheles, how does it say? Birchas Hashem in Mishli, Birchas Hashem Hitashir, so because Shabbos is a Yom Brocha by Baruch Hashem Yom Shvi, so you don't demonstrate Atzvus in public. But it's not the same as Yontif. Yontov, there's an inyan of simcha, so simcha is a tie to the sasri with avelus. So the pasuk says of yom simchaschem, on the two times of the year when there's simcha, either moyadechem or rosh chodeshim. Rosh chodeshim chutz lebeis hamikdash is not doich avelus. We observe avelus on rosh chodesh because rosh chodesh chutz lebeis hamikdash, it doesn't really have a kedushas hayom. In the beis hamikdash, you bring musafim, but the chutz lebeis hamikdash, there's no significance to rosh chodesh. It's significance the first day of the month. You write on the check, you write on a ksuba, on a get. You write what day of the month it is, but it's not a yom hamikdash for anything.
Women.
The women don't do malach on rosh chodesh, and there's a midas chasidus to have a sudas rosh chodesh. But mikra din, rosh chodesh doesn't have any kedusha. Chutz lebeis hamikdash. In the beis hamikdash has kedusha. In the beis hamikdash there is simcha. That's the mashmos of the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs that halal on rosh chodesh is the araisa in the beis hamikdash. Chutz lebeis hamikdash. He writes lamia to halal elo berosh chodesh chutz lebeis hamikdash. And beis hamikdash sounds like they did say halal. Medina and the minik to say halal bigvul and amash chodesh is to carry over what they used to do in the Beis Hamikdash. So the pasuk says, on the days on which there's a mitzvah simcha dahinu bima yadechem over rosh chodeshem, uskaita machatzoitzvus. This is separate from the shiras alavim. Shiras alavim, the music they played in conjunction with the singing of the shir shalom. That's one thing. And this is Iskaita Machatzoitzus Alolasechem Zivche Shalmechem. For what purpose? Not for the niggin, not the play. Voyelachem Lezikorin Lefnei Alakechem Ani Hashem Alakechem. The purpose of the playing of the Chatzoitzus is Lezikorin. So the Mefarshim on the Siddur say, Yalav Yav Zichonenu Figdanenu is based on this pasuk. That's why they never instituted Yalav Yav on Shabbos, only on Rosh Chodesh and Yomim Tovim, because the pasuk is of Ahelachem Lezikorin on Yemei Simcha. And a Yom Simcha, we're in the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom Lefnei Hashem, so we say Yalav Yovein. You look in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes, he quotes from the Ma'aril, from the Rishonim. When Yontif is Choli is B'Shabbos, or Rosh Chodesh is Choli is B'Shabbos, so when you daven Shmona Esrei, they used to mention in the middle of Yalav Yovein, Yom HaShabbos HaMorech HaZeh, Yom HaShachodesh HaZeh, Yom HaShabbos HaMorech HaZeh, Yom HaGamatzes HaZeh. Used to mention Shabbos in the middle. So in the Siddur Oitzah Tfilas, the two big fat volumes, Oitzah Tfilas, so they have Horus from Rabbi Shai Berlin every so often. The one who wrote the Horus on the side of the Gemara. So he says he doesn't understand. How could the Rishonim have such a nusach that when Yontav is Chol is B'Shabbos, you add on a Haskara for Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yovai? They never instituted Yalav Yovai for Shabbos. It's based on the Pasuk, V'Oyer Lachem L'Zikoran. And on Shabbos, they never blew Chatzaitzus. So there is no inyan of Zikaron. So I think the Mefarshim say that those who have that old Nusach, the Ramah has that Nusach, that when Yontav Chol is B'Shabbos, or Shchodesh Chol is B'Shabbos, he mentioned Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yovai. Mishneh Berurah says we don't follow that practice anymore. We don't do that. But in the Ramah, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So I think the other Mefarshim say that the answer must be there's a big shaila in the Gemara. There is theorists in the Gemara. When you have Yontav Chol is B'Shabbos, or you have Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos, do you have two Kedushas Hayom superimposed one on top of the other? It's Yontav Lechud and Shabbos Lechud. But they say no. It becomes one hyphenated Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Yontav with Shabbos. So on the assumption that they blend in together, so since Yontif is a day v'ohar lachem lezikaron, you say Yalav Yov on Yontif, when Yontif chalis b'Shabbos, it's one hyphenated Kedusha Hayom, then it makes sense to mention Shabbos in the middle. If you hold the other way, that the two separate Kedusha Hayoms, one superimposed on the other, ha'ilachud dekoy v'ha'ilachud dekoy, then the Taka does make sense, that Nusa. That's our meaning, is that we don't mention Shabbos. Mishneh Berurah says we don't have that practice. We don't mention Shabbos in the middle of Yalav Yov. The whole nusach of Yalav Yavoi is based on the pasuk, and today said, "V'hoyer lachem lizikaron," and you ain't simcha.
Yeah.